American composer Jack Gallagher has written many works for orchestra, symphonic band, chamber ensembles, and choral groups, as well as solo works for piano, trumpet, and tuba. I recently had the opportunity to sit down with Jack and discuss his career and several recordings of his work. We began by talking about how he approaches composing. When he sits down to begin a new piece, how does the creative process kick off? Is it a mood that strikes him, or maybe previous ideas he's had in his head or even written down?
It can be any of those, and also some other influences can sometimes obtain as well. I find that it often helps me to get a very good idea of what the kind of piece is in terms of its dimensions, the number of instruments or voices that it's going to call for, its overall duration. And then I try to think about what the appropriate mood and spirit of the overall sense of the work might be like. So all of those tend to inform the beginning processes.
Many composers have ideas and emotions that they are looking to convey in their music.
There's usually something specific that I want to convey, and of course that's guided by a range of emotions as well. But normally I like to start out with, where do I want this piece to go, and what do I hope that it might accomplish, and what kind of spirit might it embody? So all of those help to provide a sense of direction for the piece in the early stages.
During the course of our conversation, I asked Jack if there are any specific composers that have had a significant influence on his writing.
In a sense, I like to feel that most composers are a product of the vast amount of music that they've heard during their entire careers and lifetimes. I know that sounds overly broad, but I think to some degree it's true that everything that one hears that sounds at all striking or interesting finds its way into the bank, as it were, and is ready and poised for the appropriate moment. So I know I'm being very general right now, but everybody basically from the well-known suspects among the composers we all love and regard highly. I'm a great admirer of Mozart, for example, but his style is so much different from the styles that we encounter in our own period in the 21st century that not only would it be really kind of a lame exercise to try to imitate his style, but it would be almost impossible for anyone to do it any better than he did anyway. In that sense, it might be possible to say, well, the spirit of ebullience and the spirit of joie de vivre that one sometimes finds in some of Mozart's work might find its way in a kind of parallel in a 21st century style. And that could be one emphasis. As far as living composers are concerned, there are a great many that I admire a whole lot. Some of those might include people like Christopher Rouse or Magnus Lindberg or a great many others.
Earlier in his career, Jack had the opportunity to participate in master classes with composers such as Aaron Copland, George Crumb, and William Bolcom.
I was quite a bit younger then, and I remember Copland listened very politely and basically found something kind of courteous to say. But I realized that I had still a very long way to go. He was, this would have been 1971 that masterclass occurred, so it was quite some time ago. I was just very much in awe of being in the presence of this great figure in American music. But in terms of giving sort of specific musical advice, not too much of that happened. He had several people that he was listening to and addressing. And there wasn't too much specifically that he had to say, but the example of his great productivity and his huge achievement was certainly very inspiring. In the case of George Crumb, George Crumb was even more overtly very kind-hearted, and he told me that the piece that I had brought for his attention, which was an art song based on a poem by Robert Southey, was actually a poem that he himself had set and more or less in the same key signature of all things. We don't even think of George Crumb normally as employing key signatures, but I guess that was in his early days. And he was very kind and very warm in his helpfulness. William Bolcom was very, very good about actually suggesting some specific ideas about orchestration for one of the pieces on my first Naxos disc. The disc contains a piece called Sinfonietta for Strings. And he had an idea about doubling violas with violins in one place that proved to be really very, very helpful. So I'm grateful to all three of them for having been very patient and kind.
Jack is known for going back and revising many of his works. I was curious as to the reason.
Mostly because on hearing the piece a number of times and living with it, I keep finding areas that I hope I could make more effective and better. So in that sense, it's not unlike, I think, when a Broadway show has a tryout in an out-of-town city. And the play doctors get together and scramble together to try and tighten some nuts and bolts or to polish some loose ends. And in that sense, I think that refining a piece can, if one lets it, it can go on almost indefinitely. And I have to be careful sometimes of letting enough be enough. But it's very difficult to resist the lure of trying to polish a piece to its maximum degree. And that's why sometimes I can't resist the lure of going back and revisiting a piece and kind of tweak it.
We discussed two albums of Jack's compositions, one featuring pianist Frank Hwang. He talked about how their collaboration began.
Frank is now a good friend. Frank was a colleague of mine for a while on the faculty of the College of Worcester in Ohio, where I teach. He was one of the members of our adjunct piano faculty. And we became very close. In speaking, we discovered we shared a lot of the same enthusiasms and we admired a lot of the same composers and the same performers. And I asked Frank if he would be interested in the possibility of recording a disc of my music. And bless his heart, he agreed, and that's kind of how it came about.
Let's listen to what Jack had to say about several works on this album, beginning with the Sonata for Piano.
The Sonata for Piano is the first item on the disc, and it's one of the ones in which I tried very much to integrate the various movements in a cyclical manner so that the same thematic material keeps coming back during the course of the piece. And it seemed to me important in elaborating the architecture of the piece to make those kinds of internal references so that the whole piece would seem very integrated and organic. So in that sense, the first theme of the first movement really becomes the subject of much of what goes on in the rest of the piece, including the fact that there's a reference to that theme at the climactic point of the second and slow movement, and that in the third movement, which is a sonata rondo form, that all of the thematic material is based in one way or another on that initial first theme from the first movement. So I try to tie it all together, but in a way that I hope is not overly obvious and that lends the piece inner unity. The six bagatelles are interesting. One peculiarity of this published version of the disc is that the title is Six Bagatelles, but you may notice there are only five of them listed. And that's because the second of the six bagatelles is actually the exact same movement as the middle movement of the Sonatina for Piano. Both of these pieces date from a similar time frame. And there wasn't really room on the CD, which has normally a limit of about 80 minutes, to accommodate placing that same movement in both of those pieces. So that the Six Bagatelles is actually bereft of that second bagatelle. Now, the reason I bring this one up is because there's what might be an interesting story about the second bagatelle. It's called a berceuse, which means lullaby. And at the time that I finished graduate school, I had a friend who was a very, very fine concert pianist. His name was Lawrence Schubert, a Long Island pianist. And his wife was expecting, and she said that since the expected baby was in utero, and since I was a composer, why wouldn't I write a lullaby for their expected arrival? And I found that this was a very disarming request that was very difficult to refuse. So I wrote them a lullaby for piano, since Lawrence was a very fine pianist himself. And then when that was completed, I found that the work seemed to have extra suggestions for being used in other works as well. I liked the material. So I elaborated and expanded it and made it the second movement of both the Six Bagatelles and also the Sonatina for Piano. Last but not least, it then became orchestrated. I had a chance to orchestrate the piece for symphony orchestra, and by curious happenstance, it's become perhaps the most played of all of my pieces. It's often played on many public radio stations, both in this country and abroad. So that piece has had a kind of a curious history to it. Naturally, I think my daughter is the most beautiful daughter in the world, so I couldn't resist the temptation to write a series of beginning piano pieces for her. So the six piano pieces came out of that. And again, while it's difficult to identify favorites, I think for me, maybe the lullaby and the folk song would be particular favorites of mine, and those are pieces numbers 2 and 5 of that set.
Another CD we discussed features Jack's orchestral works performed by the London Symphony Orchestra led by Joanne Folletta. Here's what he had to say about the Diversions Overture, composed in 1986.
Diversions Overture is a favorite of mine also. It's a piece in kind of a much more overtly Americana style than most of my other orchestral works, and it seems to have worked pretty effectively as an opener for concerts. The wonderful American conductor Joanne Folletta was very kind in programming performances of that piece with the Buffalo Philharmonic. And as a concert opener, it seems, because it's rather spirited and Americana in style, to work fairly effectively.
Jack is a trumpeter and pianist, so I was wondering how knowing these instruments so well may influence his writing.
I think you can hear probably a lot of brazen brass in a number of my pieces for orchestra. In the piano, I'm less accomplished a performer as a pianist than as a trumpet player. So as a result, the pieces are a little bit less overtly, let's say, virtuosic in their orientation, and they reflect more of, I think, just sort of a genial and kind of a good-natured feeling rather than trying to scale the heights in using that particular medium.
That's American composer Jack Gallagher talking with me about his writing here on 88.9 WCVE. If you're interested in hearing more of Jack's work, check out his website, jackgallaghermusic.com.